Maybe someone would start these hymns for us. Number one, on the list, little sheep. Tell you a little story, children. There's a man up near where I live that I did some business with. He's a man about 35 years of age. He's a jet fighter pilot. Very proud man by his own admission, and he said the Lord spoke to his heart that he needed to be saved. And so he went in his bedroom and was going to get down on his knees, and he was going to ask the Lord Jesus to come into his heart. And so he went in his bedroom and he put one knee on the ground, one knee on the floor. There was some part of his heart that said, I'm not going to bow the other one. And he struggled with that. He thought about it. He says, if I don't get both these knees on the floor, I'm not going to get saved. That's the way he looked at it. And he was dealing with God. He was dealing with his conscience. And he was dealing with the Word of God, his own heart. And he says, this won't do. So you know what he did? He grabbed the other knee with his hands and jammed it onto the floor. He got saved. He's a happy Christian man today. Who has another song for us to sing? Okay. 11. Verse number 1 and number 4. Number 11.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds hold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will
we are
Beautiful, beautiful hymn. All right, next. Next. Number 17. First and last of number 17. No, let's sing them all. Have you any room for Jesus?
Have you any room for Jesus?
And then we'll maybe sing another song or two. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful privilege of being able to tell of Thy love, our God, in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the Word of God, Thy Word. Thank Thee for the wonderful news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Bless these children, our Father. We think of how that there are parents and grandparents that have brought these children here today to hear Thy word, and it's their desire that they hear a clear gospel message, Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray, in our weakness, in Jesus' precious name, amen. This little verse here, it says, "Had you any time for Jesus?" I'll relate a little story I heard two nights ago. My friend, a dear Christian man, his name is Buford. You ever heard that name before? Buford. He was working in Alaska, and he was trying to bring Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, before a man by the name of Joe. Now, Joe was 45 years of age. And one Saturday, Joe needed some work done, and Buford knew how to do it, so they met and they looked at this truck that they're going to repair, and Buford said, well, I'll help you with that, but you go get some supplies in town, and I'll get some supplies the other way, and we'll meet here as soon as we can, and we'll work on this truck, and then we'll be able to ship it up to Prudhoe Bay. So 3 hours went by, and Joe didn't come back. Well, what happened to Joe? Joe died on the way to get those supplies. He was driving along, and there was another man with him. And then he looked over, he started to drift off the road, and Joe's eyes were closed, and he was slumped over the wheel. Well, they got the truck stopped, and poor Joe, he's dead. This friend of mine, Buford, had visited with Joe about the gospel. And this man, Joe, said, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Have you any time for Jesus? As in grace, he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Well, that's not the end of the story. Joe had a wife. Now she's a widow. And she told my friend Buford, she said, would you please come to the memorial service? Well, he said, yes. Where's it at? So she gave him the address. So he got in his car the next day, or a couple days later, and he went to this place, and what was it? The memorial service was going to be held in a tavern, a bar. And he hesitated. He said, well, I don't know if I want to go in there. Well, he promised the lady, the widow, that he would go in there. Well, he did. He went in there, and he said there was six, no more than seven men in there, and this widow, and they were talking. He said, and pretty soon the bartender wanted to bring things to order so he could lead the memorial service. And he took his fork, he clanked it against some glasses there and let them ring for a little bit. Brought everything into order. And then he said, Joe was a good man. Joe did this, Joe did that. And Joe, he loved his darts. He knew how to throw darts. And Joe, he loved his foosball. I don't know what foosball is. Maybe you do. He loved his foosball, and he could play foosball very well. And in about 5 minutes, the memorial service was over, and the bartender said in memory of Joe, he says, the drinks will be half price for the next hour. And the widow said, here's some cold cuts. And my friend was feeling very uncomfortable because he felt his friend Joe went to hell. That was on his road, rather, to hell. Time was up. He's the man that said, I have no time for the gospel. And my friend Buford said just a couple nights ago, he said, David, I've been dealing with that for 15 years, and I can't get over it. I can't get over it. What about the widow? What about souls that will not accept the Lord Jesus? He says, I can't shake it. I can't get over it. He's a Christian man thinking about that. Well, it says here, have you any time for Jesus? Children, you're in the first part of your life. Now's the time to come to Christ. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. One more song. What should it be? Number 12. Oh, think of this beautiful hymn. I remember singing this for many, many years. It's such a beautiful hymn. Let's sing first, fourth, and last. Thank you. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 3. Last night I was watching the children as our brother was speaking the gospel forth, and I saw these children were rather unusual. They all had their Bibles open, those that I saw, and they were following along. And I thought, well, this is a pretty nice bunch of kids. Well, we're going to give you something to think about. You know, sometimes you hear big people talking about types, shadows, and pictures. Boy, some of those words you might, I know what a shadow is. I know what a picture is. I don't know what a type is. Maybe we're going to talk about a type today a little bit. I hope you can understand. See, what the Lord does, he speaks in types. He gives you a story. And then that story can be explained in life circumstances, and it can be explained by the Word of God. You get an Old Testament story, and the New Testament will explain it. That's what that a type means. It's beautiful. Think about types. Sometimes when you see brothers, there'll be three or four brothers over in a corner. They'll be talking. They'll have their Bibles open. They might be talking about a type. Types. Maybe we'll read about a type here. Acts chapter 3. This is a type of a man. He's lame, and it's a picture of a sinner. Lost. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened, at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Well, that's not all that's said about this man. We find him, I wrote down a couple things here, and as we talk about this story, you'll be able to find out where we're reading. First of all, he was carried. You know, sometimes I think there's little children were carried in here this morning, weren't they? I saw children carried in here this morning. Then I saw some children, they came in under their own steam. This man, he was a grown man. He was maybe 45 years old, like Joe. 45 years old, maybe. He was over 40. We know that for a fact. He wasn't young, and he wasn't going to get better. Sometimes when children are born with a birth defect, they kind of get over it. But this man had proved that nature wasn't going to help at all. He was lame. Well, we find him carried. We find him laid there, so he's laying there. We find him begging, and I have something here. I need a boy in a minute. I need a boy because this is going to be the pan that he's going to beg with right here. We find him hoping. We find him receiving, leaping and walking and praising. And we find him holding, standing, speaking, praising, and enjoying. So we'll look at some of those things. Now, we don't have much time. We got maybe 20 minutes or so. So here we have somebody cared enough for him to carry him to the beautiful gate of the temple. And as he was sitting there, Peter and John were walking in and they were going to pray. It was the ninth hour. Now, sometimes big people start enjoying little things. And here's something that I enjoyed. This was the ninth hour. What does the Bible tell us about the ninth hour? Do you remember when Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, "It is finished"? That was the ninth hour of the day. And the veil of the temple was rent. That means that man can go right into the presence of God and worship. Well, it was the ninth hour, and Peter and John were going in to the temple to pray. But here's a man who was lame. And you know what the law said about a lame man? He couldn't go in the temple at all. His body was broken. And so he needed some real help. Now, as this story progresses, we find out that, we have to have a little boy. Who would like to volunteer? I need a boy. Okay, how about you? Come on up here and get this pan. Let's sit right here on this chair. All right, what's your name? Jonathan? Good, that's my middle name. I'll remember that. Jonathan. Now, I suppose this man, he was asking, and I did a little study of people that were lame. And how did I do it? I just sat in my car and I looked out and I watched people. I watched a girl about maybe 16 years of age, and she was walking, but she was walking on her knees. The rest of her leg down below didn't work. She was walking across the street on her knees. And then I saw another man who was lame on his feet. He had some 2x4 blocks in his hands. And that's what he was using to go up the street. He was crawling because he didn't have any. His legs were just, I suppose it was polio, and they were all little and they were folded back, and he was just dragging his legs up the street. And then I saw another man that was in town with his friends. He didn't have any legs either, and he walked on his hands. Now, I've seen people walk on their hands for 2 or 3 paces, but this man, he had his hands like that on the ground, and he would walk, and then he'd just lay his legs on the ground. There were little withered up things, and then he'd keep it going. He'd walk some more like this. And I thought, well, when's he going to stop? He just kept walking and walking and walking. He walked out of town like this, and I watched him walk, and he walked right out of sight with his friends. He was a little fella because he didn't have any legs. He walked on his hands. Well, somebody in that condition, it must be sad. Now, this man here, he was probably worse than that. He had to be carried. And he sat there. Now, there's another man I want to tell you about. I watched him. I thought, what must it be like to have no legs? And I watched the man. I looked in his eyes. I looked carefully at his eyes. And his eyes were moving all the time, just like this. Back and forth, back and forth. I thought, wow, that's strange. And he looked at this person, that person, that person, that. And he had a very worried look on his face. Why? Because if somebody didn't give him something in his little pan or in his hand, he was going to starve. And it was very, very important for him to get some money. Very important. Well, this man here, he was in a similar condition. If someone didn't help him, he is in serious, serious trouble. Well, help came. Praise the Lord for that. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him. Well, let's just think of this as a type now. The Lord, he's fastened his eyes upon this company here today. He's looking down from heaven and he sees the children of men and children of these saints here. And he says, oh, I want to bless them. I want to bless them so much. Peter looked upon him. And this man, he was expecting some money. So he would probably go something like this. And get their attention. Get their attention. Please, could you help me? I'm in need. Well, he was hoping But you know what? Did he get more than he was hoping for? Oh, we know the story already, don't we? Way more. Remember, he had nothing. He had nothing. Had a couple of friends maybe that helped him, and that's probably all. And so Peter, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." Doesn't that make you think of that verse that about the blood of Christ? We're not saved with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. This is a little bit of a type here, see? So what happens? In the name of... No, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, look at this next verse. And he took him by the hand. That is, Peter reached down and took him by the right hand. Just like in your right hand. It's your right hand here. Took him by the right hand and lifted him up. That's what took place first. Now, the brothers in the meeting were talking about how that God in his sovereign goodness reaches down and picks us up when we don't even know the depths of our need and we don't even realize how lost we are. He reached down first and took him by the right hand. Now, there was a time when the Lord Jesus reached down to pick up a little boy. Remember when he took that little boy up into his arms and he put his hands upon him and he blessed him? What if that little boy would have said no and turned around and walked away? Wouldn't that have been sad? That'd have been terrible sad. Well, this man, Peter picked him up, and his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And what happened? He jumped. I'm not going to ask you to do this. He jumped up. Oh, was he excited. This is wonderful. And what else does he do? He walks. He's trying out his legs for the very first time. He starts walking. I can just picture him walking, walking, walking back and forth. And then you see him stop. He would jump up and down like this. What a sight that must have been. And then he did something else. First he's leaping up, he stood and he walked. Now he can go into the temple. He's not a cripple anymore. And what's he doing now? He's walking and leaping and he's praising God. Oh, there's something added there. Now he's praising. Isn't that wonderful? When the Lord Jesus comes and gives us a new life, oh, now we can praise God. Now we can go into his presence with joy and singing. Well, first time this mentioned, he's leaping. That's first. But the next time it talks about it, it's not leaping first, it's walking. Now when a person is leaping, they're just jumping up like this. They're not going anywhere. But you know, in our Christian life, we have to go somewhere. We have a goal in view. We have to go to the end of our time here to the glory of God. And leaping doesn't do it. Although, leaping tells you that you have strength. That's wonderful. You have life. But walking. The brothers were talking yesterday about the Christian path. It's not an easy one. And you have to walk steadily. You have to walk consistently. And you have to praise God. That's a privilege. And so the first time he's leaping first, it's mentioned. The second time he's walking and leaping and praising God. And then the ninth verse, it says they saw him walking and praising God. The leaping's all done with now. Sometimes you see people, they want to spend their whole life leaping. I know a company of Christians, they would rather leap than walk. Well, we need to walk for God. Now, this man, I'm going to bring a little picture here again, so listen carefully for it. This man, he was so happy that what did he do? He grabbed a hold of Peter and John. Now, here's what the old brothers talk about in the corner of the room. They said, you know what John's ministry is all about? Do you know what Peter's ministry is all about? Oh, Peter talks about an abundant life and life flowing up from within. And John talks about the family. Talks about family truth. Now, this guy didn't have much of a life, did he? He didn't have a family. If he's 45 or 50 years of age, his mommy and daddy's probably already dead. Well, So he was leaning against Peter, and he could hear Peter talking about life, and he could hear John talking about family. Sons of God. That's what old people talk about. They start enjoying the scriptures. Find out here that God made this man to walk. That was the question. How did this come about? Well, in verse 12, God made this man to walk. And that's what it is that will save your soul and give you an ability to walk for God. Now, we want to turn over the page or however far it takes to get to verse 16. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. This man strong. So now we find out that he's got strength. And in the last part of the verse, he has a perfect soundness. Now, if you children, you know, you don't have to wait till you get to the old brothers, but you can start looking through maybe the book of Timothy, or you could listen to these brothers, and they'll talk about somebody that has perfect soundness. Their bodies, their spiritual life is taken care of, is strong, is sound in Christ. They're strong. And then we come over to chapter 4 and verse 9. We find out again that the report was that he was an impotent man, he had no strength. And now he's made whole. You know something? We are complete in Christ. If you have Christ, you have everything. If you're a little boy and there's troubles come, you have Christ to lean upon. If you feel a problem with your soul and sins, oh, you have Christ to go to. If you get a little bit older and you need to know what school to go to or what kind of job to get into or what kind of a person you want to marry or something like that, you say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, help me. This is important decisions. Where to live? Oh, he'll help you with that. And then when it comes time to leave this world, if we're left here, Christ again. I was at the airport in Minneapolis a few days ago. And we hopped on a little earlier flight. We were able to get a little earlier flight from there to here. And my wife and Pat were able to find a chair right there. And there wasn't a third chair, so I had to wait. It was just a little flight, so I thought, well, I'll just find a place back here. And I watched the people all sitting down. And pretty soon I was kind of stepped over this older man, got back in there, sat down. I said, how are you, sir? He said, I'm fine. How are you? I said, I'm good. And I said, do you live in Des Moines? Yes. Did you go to high school in Des Moines? Yes. I graduated from East High in 1940. That's a long time ago. He was an old man, 78 years of age. So in the conversation, I said, did you ever know a teacher there by the name of Mr. Brown? No. What did you do for a living? Oh, I said, I'm a doctor. And he told me his name. And his name was Dr. Nutt. And so I visited with him and I found out that he was living for the Lord. He was loving the Lord. And his wife passed away last year. And she had led 11 souls to Christ while she was in the hospital. And I said, well, I know you. I knew that man 40 years ago. I knew that man. Now he's an old man, and his children were sitting there, grown men. I think the Lord allowed me to have that experience. Well, many people in the room here today know him. His name is Dr. Nutt. Matter of fact, he's Miriam Hayhoe's brother. We'll go on with a story. This man here, he was impotent, now he's made whole. First he was leaning on Peter and John, and you know we need to do that. We need to lean on other Christians. But then there's a time when that time of growing in our path of Christian, our life, comes to a place where we have to stand. Do we find that here somewhere? Yes. Verse 14 of chapter 4. And behold, the man which was healed standing. Now he was standing with them. Wasn't leaning on them. He was standing with them. And you children, you realize as you go through this world, you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand for Christ. You're going to have to stand for what pleases the Lord. And I looked into the eyes of a man very, 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 very recently that didn't stand. And I looked, turned like this, and I looked him right in the face, and I said, I hold to the principles that your father held to. I appreciated them, and I stand by them. You have to stand. May the Lord help us all to stand. Now, sometimes we don't. We know that. This man, he could stand now. Now, the last part of the 21st verse, there's something very nice there. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Now, something was done, not half done. Something was complete. This man, his healing was complete. He was whole. And I love to think of that in connection with our position before God. We stand in Christ complete, don't we? Oh, that fills my heart with joy to think about that. You know, what we believe is this. All the religions of the world can be divided up into just two. Just two. Doing or done. If you do something, then it's man's religion. If it's already done, that's God's way of salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Eternal security. Now remember something about this man. He didn't have anything. There wasn't anybody that was close to him. Now there's a company of believers that he's among there, all filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking the word of God with boldness. Now he has something to say. And the verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that anything of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I like to think of this in two different ways. He didn't have anything before, did he? I mean, he was a beggar. I wish I had an old shirt for this fellow to wear here, Jonathan. Old beggar clothes. And then he could rattle his pan like that. But now what does he have? This man, he's in that little assembly there. And these dear brethren in that assembly, you know what they did? They said, I love the Lord Jesus so much that I'm going to take whatever I have and I'm going to give it to people that don't have anything. And so they said, here's this man over here. He doesn't have anything. Let's give him something. And so you know what? He had as much as they had. You know something, children? When we come to know the Lord Jesus, we have Christ. And we come to be gathered to his precious name. We have an inestimable, that's too big a word. Let's figure out another one. We have a real, real privilege and a blessing to meet with those that love the Lord Jesus Christ and are gathered to his precious name. Now, we have all things common. We have Christ, don't we? George, is that right? We've got Christ. If you have him, I have him. I'll tell you another little story. There was a woman. She was blind. Oh, in this place where we were, nobody took care of these poor people. And I suppose if a doctor could have got this woman, got her a glass eye or somebody, her eyes looked so terrible. And the clothes she had on were so worn and so beat up. I felt sorry for her. And one of us that was in the van said something about the Lord Jesus to her. And then she brightened up and she started talking in a strange language. And she was going on and on and on and on and on. And I didn't know what she was saying. She was speaking in her native tongue. And so I said, "What did she say?" Oh, she quoted the 23rd Psalm to me. There, I thought, I studied that. I said, "What about that? Is that woman that's so beat up, is she my sister? Is she my sister in Christ?" I think so. She had nothing either. But there's coming a day when that'll all be taken care of. Beautiful, beautiful. There's coming a day in this earth right here when all taint of sin shall be removed and all evil done away. And we will dwell with God's beloved in God's eternal day. And those people that suffer in that condition will all be taken care of. Yes, I believe she was my sister in Christ. She knew the Word of God and it appeared to be in her heart. Well, we're getting to the end of our little time here. Here we have this man. And there's a brother there in that little assembly beside this healed man. And you know what his name was? His name was, he was the Son of Consolation. Son of Consolation. That's one of the meanings of his name. The meaning of his name, Barnabas. Now you can imagine what this man is. Now he's clothed. He's clothed and he's got his friends. He's able to worship. He's able to walk. And there's a brother right beside him. And he's a called the Son of Consolation. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have the Lord Jesus? Barnabas isn't here, but the Spirit of Consolation is certainly here. To have somebody come alongside of you and counsel you and console you and help you and lead you and guide you through this world. Well, that's the Lord Jesus, of course. But he has his servants, and this room has a lot of them. You know, I was thinking yesterday in the meeting, asking this question. Who in this room is a full-time servant of the Lord? Which of these brothers is a full-time servant of the Lord? Raise your hand. You know what? Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Which one of you boys are saved? Raise your hand. Okay. That boy right there, the right behind the microphone. I want to tell you something, young man. You are a full-time servant of the Lord if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I can't think of it any other way. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and He's given His all for you at the cross of Calvary, then you can give your full to Him. You think so? I think so too. Well, let's praise the Lord. Prayer. Gracious Father, we've had a lot of things to think about. We think of this beautiful type of this man and how much he got. He started with nothing. He ended up in the bosom of the assembly, a child of thine by faith, rejoicing and praising and walking for thee. We just think of these children here this morning, Father. Their parents have carried them here, and they're praying. Just ask thee, Father, to come in by thy Spirit, work in their heart, and may the Lord Jesus be received by them in their hearts this very day. We bless thee, our Father, and we think of the meeting to follow, and how we can enter in and offer thee praise, thanksgiving, and worship, our God. We bless thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, just as I am without one plea, that was so beautiful. If you could hear what that sounds like to me, echoing off these walls up here. Can someone, oh yes, here it is. Number 12, verses 3. Let's sing the last three verses of number 12.